as we have been worshiping the Lord, to the fact that He's the one who is worthy to be praised because of His love that He's shown towards us, His pure love, His patient love, and His perfect love that has constrained us in order to be able to experience that love in our personal lives, in order to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're going to continue our series on Grow Up. There were already two sermons that we have already heard from this Grow Up series. If you remember, we have meditated on the first aspect of the spiritual growth, with this spiritual birth. There is no growth without birth, if you recollect that. You can't say that I want to grow in the Lord if you are not born at all. Same is the case spiritually as well. For you to understand spiritual growth, you must be spiritually born. Or in other words, you must be born again. Because by birth we are, by physical birth we are spiritually dead. Only through the work of the Holy Spirit of God in us, to recognize what Christ has done in our lives, to repent of our sins, enables us to really have that experience of being born again. Spiritual birth. Once we are born, we just can't be adults. The first stage of our spiritual birth, after our spiritual birth, is being a baby, or in other words, an infant. And what are the characteristics of an infant? You know how these infants are and how they behave. Though they are cuddly, they are very loving. There are many things that they keep doing for which we need to do some cleanup. Such is the kind of spiritual infancy. Today, we are going to meditate on another aspect, which is spiritual children, spiritual children, spiritual birth, spiritual babies. And today we are going to meditate on spiritual children. As it is projected in the theme, the key verse for today, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Shall we all read this together, please, before writing it down? Let us read this together. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So shall we fill in the blanks? As a result, we are no longer to be children. Children. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And then in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. So today's sermon is related to the entire theme verse for the sermon series itself, which is grow up, and also regarding being children, spiritual children, and what is the attitude of the children. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion and speak to us through His living word, while we have that desire and prayer in our hearts that God may speak to us. Let us have an undivided attention to the listening of God's word. Let us not get diverted and distracted, but let us focus on understanding the scriptural portion. Let's read the same verse in a Telugu language. Altogether, please, for those of us who understand the Telugu language, let's read this in Telugu. అందువలన మనం ఇక మీదట పసిపిల్లలమై ఉండి మనుష్యుల మాయోపాయముల చేత వంచనతోనూ తప్పు మార్గమునకు లాగు కుయుక్తితోనూ గాలికి కొట్టిపోవునట్లు కల్పింపబడిన ప్రతి ఉపదేశమునకు ఇటు అటు కొట్టుకుని పోవచ్చు అలల చేత ఎగరకొట్టబడిన వారమై నుండక ప్రేమ కలిగి సత్యము చెప్పుచు క్రీస్తు వలె ఉండుటకు మనం అన్ని విషయంలో ఎదుగుదము. Let's read this in an Urdu language this time. Taki hum aage ko bache na rahe aur aadmiyon ki bazigari aur makkari ke sabab unke gumrah karne wale mansubon ki taraf har ek talim ke jokhe se mauzon ki tarah uchlate behte na fire. I hope we understand at least a little portion of here and there, that we should not be like bache. At least that is clear. Like children, like we should no longer be like children. So We are going to meditate on this important element of spiritual children. In terms of understanding children, sometimes to understand spiritual children, sometimes it's good to relate or compare with physical children. What kind of behavior do children have? What is the nature of children? There are two definitions or understanding of children. Some say, how many children do you have? Even if they are old people, they say, I have three children. One is 20, one is 25, the other is 27 or something like that. That is telling as to how many kids they have or how many children they have been rearing up and taking care of. That is one definition of children. Doesn't relate to the age that they are in. But there is another definition to children, which is childs. Children, the age group. The age group typically, which they have passed the infancy stage, they're called little children. Sometimes children, pasipillalu antaru telugulo. Or sometimes they say pillalu. They're talking about the age group, the nature in which they are in. How is their nature? Most of us, have children. Probably of the age of children, in terms of the way in which they behave. The more you tell, they tend to behave oddly only. They don't really do what you tell them to do. And to the extent of trying to cry for things, don't know how to control themselves. When we tell them, be quiet. We are in the church, be quiet. What do? Very hard for them to control them. Such is the nature of children. They don't really fully understand what we are talking about to the extent of sometimes we love them, no doubt about it. But at the same time, as much as we want to discipline them, there is an age that they are in that they are trying to, go past that age. We wish that they go past that age in order to be able to understand better things. Physically, when we struggle with the kind of children that we are rearing up, the kind of children we look around, how much more from a spiritual perspective the Word of God talks about. So, we're going to look at two specific aspects about spiritual children today. There are two words that are used in the Greek language for children. One is paedion. And the other is technion, paedion and technion. Both of them, similar way in which it is translated in English, children or little children, interchangeably used. Paedion, the word paedion, from there came pediatrics. You know pediatricians. Who are pediatricians? Those who take care of the children's health, pediatricians, paedion, that's a Greek word. From where? The pediatrics have come. I don't know how technion, nothing technical that has come out of it, I suppose. But technion is also another word that is used for children. Primarily those who are learning, not from a physical perspective, but more from a learning perspective. Teachers talking to their disciples, that's how they speak. Those are the two words. So let us look at our sermon notes in order to be able to recognize what we can learn about spiritual children. As I was telling you, the words that are used from those of us who understand other languages, bachcho it says in Urdu, in Telugu, it is also used as pasipillalu or pillalu. Okay, just try. I want us to look at these two words as such. So the first thing that we want to know about the fact is about spiritual children. I have done lot of study earlier as well, and even as part of this sermon, from a book, one of my favorite, not that other books are not my favorite books, but the First Letter of John. Wonderful book. If you haven't meditated upon it, I'm not telling read. If you haven't read, I'm not saying read it. I'm saying if you haven't meditated upon it, take some time and meditate upon First Letter of John. Wonderful truths that you can learn. We have meditated this a few years ago, maybe among the youth as well. 1 John. There were songs also written based on that within our church. Wonderful truths that we have learned about about our relationship with God. If at all you want to know whether you are saved or not, whether you have that relationship with God, if you want to have the assurance of salvation, read 1 John. Read 1st letter of John. It really gives you a real picture as to how do we know that we are born again. How do I know I had my spiritual birth? How do I know I am going through the infancy to the child stage as well? So today, I'm going to quickly, you know, it takes weeks together if you want to really meditate upon 1st letter of John. But God willing, I'll try to see if I can try to quickly glance through this particular aspect on 1 John. So keep this in mind, 1st letter of John. I'm going to look at certain keywords from this book. Because when we read God's word, when we reading it generically is one thing, but okay, looking at this particular aspect and studying it through, it gives a better understanding. To study God's word and also meditate on God's word. I love reading God's word. I love studying God's word. And I hope each one of us are ardent students of God's word when we hear God's word even on Sunday worship service as well. We'll start with the portions that are taken from 1 John. I put a small, not small, a bigger box itself at the bottom of your sermon notes to start putting down your references that I share with you so that you're not just listening, but also you're writing down. If you do not have a Bible with you, please let us know. Our brothers are there to pass on the Bibles to you as well. It's important for us to have our Bibles, keep our Bibles open and take a look at it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Note these keywords I'm going to share with you. Little children. Isn't it appropriate for today's sermon? Children or little children? We'll look at what Apostle John talks in this particular letter to little children. I would suppose this is primarily to those who are spiritually little children. Because to write to little children, also there is a possibility, we understand that. But the focus and attention is on certain things that relate to spiritual living. So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Shall we all read this together please in English? And after that, any other language, if you want to read it, I will want you to read it aloud. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. And 2 for that matter. Let's read both of them. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. You may be having different English translations, so it might be a little different for you. But may I ask you, somebody else, read it in any other language other than English? నా చిన్న పిల్లలారా, మీరు పాపము చేయకుండుటకై ఈ సంగతులను మీకు రాయుచున్నాను. ఐఎమ్ రైటింగ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ టు యూ మై లిటిల్ చిల్డ్రన్ సో దాట్ యూ మే నాట్ సిన్. ద హోల్ పర్పస్ హీఈస్ రైటింగ్ టు దోస్ హూ ఆర్ సో కాల్డ్ స్పిరిచువల్ చిల్డ్రన్. దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ రిటన్ దట్ దే మే నాట్ సిన్. ఎస్, కంటిన్యూ బ్రదర్. ఎవడైనను పాపము చేసిన ఎడల, ఈవెన్ యాజ్ స్పిరిచువల్ చిల్డ్రన్ దేర్ ఈజ్ అ పాసిబిలిటీ టు కమిట్ సిన్. ఎవడైనను, ఇఫ్ ఎనీ వన్ సిన్స్, ఎస్, ఉత్తరవాది, వీ హ్యావ్ జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్ ద రైటియస్ హూ ఈజ్ యాజ్ అన్ అడ్వకేట్ విత్ ద ఫాదర్. ఎస్, శాంతికరమై ఉన్నాడు పాపములకు. ఎస్, He is the propitiation for our sins, not only ours, but it says, for all those of the whole world. Jesus Christ is a propitiation for our sins. You don't think that it is only for this set of people. He has come into this world to die for each one of us. That is His purpose. He came down, that is what the Bible says. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins. Don't just say it's only for Jewish people. Don't say it is only for certain tribe of people.
He has come into this world in order to be a propitiation. What does propitiation mean? What does propitiation mean? Satisfaction. He has satisfied God the Father by dying for us on the cross of Calvary. Verse 1 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Parakletos, it says in the Greek language. Advocate. Who is an advocate? The one who pleads. Pleader, in other words. He is the one. Jesus Christ became the intermediary between us and the Father. By birth, we are sinners, my dear. Remember this. Doesn't matter whether you're born in a Christian family or a non-Christian family. That's not what I'm asking you. But I'm asking you, if you have that experience of the fact that we are born sinners, everybody who is born into this world is born in sin. By nature, we are sinners. But the Bible says that we have someone in between us and Father God who has created us, but we cannot have the relationship with the Father with our sinful nature. There's only one who can be the one who is intermediary between us and the Father, that is God the Father, God himself becoming a man. That is Jesus Christ. He became the advocate for us. He is a propitiation for our sins, my dear. He has come into this world to die for us on the cross, for your sins and my sins. Remember that. If you don't understand this, there is something that we need to be able to really recognize and ask God, God, in what way? I'm not able to understand this. Our prayer is that God may open your spiritual eyes and understanding, to recognize the fact that we are born sinners and we need a Savior who can save us from our sins. That's none other than Jesus Christ. Do you have that experience of the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary? My little children, do you recognize it? And that is what he says here, from a position perspective, that Jesus Christ has become an advocate for us and a propitiation for our sins. Let us take another scriptural reference from 1 John chapter 2 in relation to the sinful nature that you and I are born in. Verse 12, 1 John 2:12. You can note down the references as I'm telling you, specifically related to little children, as I told you. If you are the ones who keep underlying your Bibles, do that. That's fine. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. Somebody please read. I write to you, little children, again. Your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. He has forgiven you not for your sake, not because you have done something great that he has forgiven you. No. Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for you, to become an advocate for you in between you and God the Father. He has come into this world in order that your sins may be forgiven. For his name's sake, he has forgiven you. Remember that. It's nothing that you can boast about, saying that I have done this, I have asked God for forgiveness of my sin, that is why I'm forgiven. No, it is for his name's sake. Little children, remember the fact that you are forgiven for his name's sake, not for anybody else's name's sake, but his name's sake. Something that you and I need to be able to recognize here. The gospel, the good news of gospel starts with the bad news that we are sinners. Remember that. That we are sinners. We are born sinners. There is no way in which we can come out of our sinful nature other than through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He has died for us. He has taken the punishment of our sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And that is what we see here, that we have a God who is a forgiving God. So note it down. Forgiven of sins by Christ. By the work of Christ. Christ's atoning sacrifice. The position every child of God, every spiritual child of God, even if you are in the spiritual children stage in your spiritual growth, you need to be able to recognize that Christ has come into this world to die for me on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of my sins. Even in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of all our sins and trespasses and unrighteousness, it says, cleanses from all unrighteousness. He is ready to forgive us of our sins. Why? Because only through the forgiveness and remission of our sins can we have that experience of having spiritual birth and infancy. If you see a person who is just born or an infant, all you will do is you keep feeding them milk. We have meditated upon it last time when we were going through spiritual babies. The spiritual babies sometimes don't know what is going on. You have to take care of them all the time. Sometimes 100% of your attention goes to taking care of the little one. As the child grows out of the infancy stage, they become a child, they will get to know things. And that is what 1 John is saying, 1 John. First of all, every child of God should have this personal experience of the fact whether your sins are forgiven or not. That assurance of being forgiven of your sins. Nothing else other than be able to say, here in verse 12 it says, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. Do you have that assurance, my dear? Can you say that your sins are forgiven? Can you say that? If somebody asks you, I'm not asking whether you're born in a Christian family, whether you're attending a church, whether you're listening to sermons. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, are your sins forgiven? Do you have that assurance of the fact that Christ Jesus came into this world to die for me on the cross for my sins' sake? And he has come into this world, he has opened my heart. By grace through faith, I'm saved. He's the one who has allowed me, he has given me a heart in order to come back to him, to come to him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. For his name's sake, he has forgiven. Because of Jesus Christ's sake, we are forgiven. Do you have that assurance? If not, maybe today is the day that you need to take that decision to receive Jesus Christ. To know the fact that he is the one who has died for me on the cross of Calvary. He has shed his precious blood for you on the cross of Calvary. So remember this. There are many scriptural portions where it says, who forgives all our sins. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He is the one who forgives all our iniquities. He is a forgiving God. No matter what kind of sins we have committed. In our thought process, in our actions, even in our nature itself, he's a God who forgives. There was a woman who came to Jesus and washed her feet. And she was wiping his feet with her tears. She didn't even open her mouth, but Jesus knew her heart. She was with a repentant heart doing that. Let us see that in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verses 47 and 48. Luke 7, 47 and 48. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loved much. Jesus had the power and authority to be able to say, your sins are forgiven. What a wonderful assurance that is. Jesus wants to give the same assurance to you and I. Do you have that assurance of the fact that your sins are forgiven? Jesus is making this statement to that woman. What more assurance does she need other than to know the fact that her sins are forgiven? Same is the case. When John the apostle is writing in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. What a great assurance that is. Each and everyone sitting here and listening elsewhere as well, may you have that clarity. May you have that clarity that with a repentant heart, when God is working in your heart, that we are sinners and we need a savior when we come to him. Just like this woman, she came to Christ because she was attracted to him. She was drawn near to him and she started wiping his feet. If you read the whole story. Our desire and prayer is that your sins may be forgiven and that you may have that assurance of your sins being forgiven. C.S. Lewis,
who carefully weighed the intellectual evidence for Christianity before converting from atheism, described his conversion as a result of the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. He was as much as possible trying to ripple away from God. Unrelentingly, he was attracted to Jesus Christ. Being an atheist, that is the work of God in a person's life. Unrelented approach, desire, he came, earnestly desired. He came to the one whom he did not want to meet. You know Saul, how he was persecuting Christians. But when the encounter with Jesus happened, his life changed, even during the worship time also. Samaritan woman, the encounter that she had with Jesus totally changed her life to the extent of influencing the entire village of Sychar. Secondly, you can note down in terms of position, to know the Father and His love. I think we have meditated upon it during the worship time also. It's a good reminder for us to be able to recognize that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, the last sentence. You can note down in your references that I'm giving you in terms of little children or children. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. If you have the KJV, can you please read that? Verse 13 towards the end. The last one. I have written to you, little children, because you know the Father. Little children, it's used in KJV. In other translations, it uses the word children. That's fine. As I told you, technion and pedion, these are the two words that are used. But here we see, I have written to you, children, or little children, because you know the Father. Notice, we are focusing on little children from 1 John. Already we have gone through 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. Now 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. Infants, it's very difficult sometimes to be able to recognize who their parent is. But a child, they can recognize their parent. They can see the parent and they get so happy. If they don't see the father or a mother for some time, they cry out. That is the nature of a child. Somebody please read verse 13 in another language if you would know. Last line. Chinna pillalara. Meeru tandrini erigi unnaru kanuka. Do you know the Father? Do you know the Father? I'm asking you. I'm not saying whether you are praying the prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sometimes we don't even care. That first sentence, our Father. You just can't call him as Father without having that experience of being a child of God. Don't use that word if you are not a child of God. If you know the Father, then you can really mean that first line, our Father in heaven. Do you know the Father? A child knows the Father. They can see the Father and run to Him. That is the kind of an experience a spiritual child will have. That assurance of the fact that not only their sins are forgiven, but their sins are forgiven because of the love of the Father. Oh, my Father loved me so much. He loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came down into this world, died for me. And because of His sacrifice, my sins are forgiven. Having a repentant heart, He opened my heart to receive Him as my personal Savior. You see that? Your sins are forgiven. The moment your sins are forgiven, you're having that clear understanding. My sins are forgiven. How is my sins forgiven? Oh, what a love of my Father. We sang so many songs. Esunan Premin Chitivi, we sang the song. Remembering the fact that He has loved us so much that He came down as Jesus Christ into this world. Do you know Him? Do you know Him as your Father? I'm asking you. The moment your sins are forgiven, your eyes will be so clearly understanding the love of the Father. To the extent of the fact that, oh, is this love? Yes, you can experience the love of God, but the more you recognize the forgiveness of your sins, that you will be able to recognize the love that has constrained Him to come down into this world to die for us so that our sins may be forgiven. Do you know the Father? You need to be able to have that experience of knowing the Father, knowing that my sins are forgiven, knowing the Father's love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Behold, what manner of love the Father has shown towards us. Remember the fact that we have a God who is a loving God. Yes, there is another side of him who is a judge. He cannot handle sin. But because of his love and his nature of being able to be a holy God, a God who is a just God, he came down into this world and took that position of taking the punishment for our sins so that the justice is satisfied. That is the love of God the Father. That is the love of God the Father. Please read chapter 3 and verse 1. Somebody, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 in any other language. They don't know the Father. That's why they don't know us as the children of God. You see that? That's very important for us to know the fact. Do you know the Father? The world doesn't know the Father. They don't know that there is a God who is a Father. Can you recognize that God is a Father? Are you thinking, oh, God is a creator, he's a creator? But to know that he is a loving Father for whom you become a child of God, to recognize the love of God the Father. దేవుడు మనకు తండ్రి అని అనిపించాలంటే వీ హ్యావ్ టు హ్యావ్ దట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. మన పాపములను మనం ఒప్పుకునే ఎడల ఆయన నమ్మదగిన వాడును, నీతిమంతుడు కనుక ఆయన మన పాపములను క్షమించి సమస్త దుర్నీతి నుంచి మనల్ని పవిత్రులుగా చేయును. 1 John 1:9. అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫర్ అస్ టు నోట్ దట్. సో యు నోట్ దిస్, ఫర్ గివెన్ ఆఫ్ సిన్స్ బై క్రైస్ట్ అండ్ టు నో ద ఫాదర్ అండ్ హిజ్ లవ్ అండ్ థర్డ్ అండ్ ద ఫైనల్ వన్ ఇన్ ద టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద పొజిషన్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ is from 1 John chapter 2, the same chapter again. All the three that we are seeing here, chapter 2, verse 18, 19, and 20. I'll read it aloud. Let's see. Children, in some translations it uses the word little children, it is the last hour, just as you heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have appeared, for this we know that it is the last hour. We are in the last days. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. There are many who are clearly going to show forth as the fact that they are drifted, they are not for Christ, but anti-Christ. Notice the word, verse in verse 20. Because he's talking to children, or little children from verse 18 onwards. It says in verse 20, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." What a wonderful assurance that is. Please read in another language. Verse 20, 1 John 2:20. You will know that. That is what the position. He's talking to little children. John the Apostle is talking to little children. So let us note down the third aspect about the position. Anointed by the Holy One, or in other words, we could relate to the fact that the Holy Spirit of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit to abide in him. We will look at that as to what he means by abide in him. Anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Atoned by Jesus Christ to abide in the Father, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Atoning, abiding, and anointing. The triple A of our position as spiritual children. Atonement of Jesus Christ, or in other words, forgiven of our sins. He has died for us on the cross. And we are able to know the Father's love. A spiritual child should be able to recognize the Father's love. Should be able to recognize the Father. Oh, this is my Father. You can't just call anybody, or anyone cannot call him as Father. And then you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of people misuse this term. Oh, this person is an anointed person. This person is not. We as believers in Lord Jesus Christ, as children of God, the Bible says, you have the anointing from the Holy One. You have the anointing from the Holy One. Don't think that somebody else will have.
God wants to be able to help, enable you and I to have the anointment of the Holy Spirit of God. To be able to recognize that God's Holy Spirit is upon me, is within me, so that I may be able to abide in Him. That's what it says. Let us see that in verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you. Anointing. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. That is the kind of anointing that you'll have. When you read the scriptures, your eyes will be opened. You'll understand the scriptures because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Spiritual children, you need to be able to have that experience of the fact that God is teaching me. More than relying on people. Yes, people can explain to you. There could be sermons that you may be listening to. Yes, but the Bible says here, the anointing which you have received from Him, He is your teacher. Holy Spirit of God is your teacher. Many times, we are not able to depend on the Holy Spirit of God. We are depending on people. Oh, that preacher said that. That preacher said that. That man said that. That someone said that. Good. I'm glad. But how about your personal understanding? Spiritual children, start learning. Start learning from the teacher who is an ultimate teacher, the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says in verse 27. There is, you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. The anointing that has been given to you in order to be able to experience Him abiding in you and you abiding in Him. Please read verse 27. Everyone chalvandi. Ainalo, abide in Him, my dear. It's very important. He's talking to the people who are at that level of understanding. Little children, spiritually. Children, try to understand this, he's telling. And then he continues that. Now note down. A fourth reference of little children in verse 28. Shall we all read this together, please? Now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. When you abide in Him, when you abide in His word, the Bible says in John 15 that you need to abide in His word. The more you know Him, the more you abide in Him, the more you are taught by the Holy Spirit of God, you will have confidence when He comes back. You won't shy away. Oh, am I really a child of God? No, you will not have that confusion. Throughout your life, you will have that confidence. And when He appears, when you appear into His presence or He appears, whichever happens first, the Bible says in verse 28, abide in Him so that when He appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. He wants to prepare you. Children, the anointing which you have received through the Holy Spirit of God, He is teaching you so that you may abide in Him. You need to learn. Children are sent to schools, physically speaking. Parents want to have education, that they need to learn, they need to be taught. Children go, still they are immature. Still they go through learning experience. They are not mature yet. We are going to go through that maturity during the spiritual growth process. We are talking about children right now. It's very difficult to say they are mature children because that age is itself like that. We want to teach them so that they grow up into maturity. But during that time, we are teaching them, right? We are teaching them the things of this world so much in schools. As spiritual children, we need to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God so that we may abide in Him and be prepared for the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful position it is. You see the triune God here? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, His love. God the Son, His atoning sacrifice for us, who died for us on the cross. And God the Holy Spirit, who is anointing us in such a manner that we are taught from His word. Don't become religious person saying, oh, I have to read Bible today. I have to read this one chapter, three chapters, five chapters today. Yes, good. Do it. But be taught. Don't read it as a newspaper. This is not a current affairs or or history that you are learning. You are learning how to live a life to be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ, so that you may stand confident, not shrink away at his coming, and not be ashamed. Yes, as a child of God, I had a great experience of assurance of the fact that he has forgiven me of my sins, that I know my Father in his love, that I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit of God to be able to be taught in his word, to abide in him. What a wonderful experience that is. So if you see here that we have already seen how many references of little children? 1 John 2:1, 1 John 2:12, 1 John 2:13, 1 John 2:18, and 1 John 2:28. So many times it is repeatedly coming on and on and on that we want to be able to know our position in Christ. There's one verse that I want to share with you before going to the second portion, and that is from 1 John chapter 4. We'll just skip, we'll come back to chapter 3 again. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. I'm going to project this picture. When I read this, let me tell you, my heart was bubbling for joy, saying, what a wonderful statement this is. 1 John 4:4. It says here, you are of God. Some translations use the word, you are from God. Or in other words, you belong to God, in other words. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. We'll study about overcoming later on. Because greater is he who is in you than who is in the world. That is a wonderful assurance. And as a child of God, there is someone who is greater in you than who is in the world. You are of God. That position, I'm a child of God. To be able to recognize it, this whenever I study through this first letter of John, it gives me such a joy and assurance, reassurance of the fact that Christ has forgiven me of my sins and he has enabled me to know the Father in his love through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And this one statement, please read in any other language, verse 4, 1 John 4:4. Meeru devani sambandhulo, you belong to God. Only if you have that experience, okay, not everyone. Do you have that experience of being forgiven of your sins? Do you know the Father and the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, because greater is he who is in you than that is in the world. It gives us so much of strength and encouragement. I'm encouraged through the word of God that he is helping me. Whenever I go through situations in my life, this year, 2018, reminds me of two major milestones in my personal life. 30 years ago, the Lord enabled me. He opened my heart to receive him as my personal savior in the year 1988. 30 years ago. And when I was 10 years old in my spiritual life, which is in the year 1998, in the month of August 1998, the Lord enabled me to come to this country. So it's been 20 years since I've come to this country, physically speaking. So as a 10-year-old spiritual, I don't know if I want to call it a child or my situation in my life, I was totally unaware as to what I'm going to come across in my life when I come to this country. As I keep reading the scriptural portions, it reminded me of the fact that he is the one who gave me the encouragement in my life that no matter where he takes me, greater is he who's in you than who he is in the world. In order to be able to face the challenges in my life, away from home, away from my country where I was born, many things. But looking back for the past 20 years, I'm thankful to God, personally speaking, that really he has enabled me to grow in him. He has enabled me to grow in him. More than the first 10 years in my life, in my spiritual life, when I came to this country, the Lord really taught me many, many, many spiritual lessons that I could be able to learn. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But God has really strengthened me to the fact. And I'm sure each one of you, if you're asked to share your testimony, I'm sure it will be for the glory of God that he is the one who is guiding us. You are of God, no matter where you are. That is what has given me that confidence. You are of God. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world.
It's a promise for me and promise for each one of us. If you have received Christ in your hearts, if you have recognized that when your sins are forgiven, that his dwelling, even in the Bible study also we have meditated on it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And when you have that experience, you will be able to really go on, move on in your spiritual life. And then the third three things that we want to learn about practice. Position, it's sometimes we need to understand what our position is in Christ and in the presence of God. And now the practice, something important, not just knowing, but also certain things that we need to learn to act upon. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Please read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Enough, brother. After that also we can meditate upon it. But I just want to keep this reference as one of the references for little children in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. Children are bound to deception. Our children, we keep telling them, be careful. No one, let no one deceive you. You'll say, oh, come, I'll give you chocolate. Your baddie is there, come. What do children do? Oh, okay. Because they are immature. They don't have clear understanding. As parents, we want to teach them to be able to be careful. Don't just go around. Don't go around with strangers and all. Be careful. But hear what they say and find out if what they are saying is right or not. And then take action. Let no one deceive you. Very important. Children are bound to be deceived. If you look at your sermon notes, the primary verse that was taken, let's read that in verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. This is the nature of children. Spiritual children get tossed to and fro by waves. It's like we are going in a boat, calm and steadily we are going. Suddenly there are waves that have come forth. What happens? We are going here and there, carried away by every wind. The wind is causing the waves to happen in such a manner that your boat is not able to be stable. Yes. What do you do then? You know the stories where real stories have happened. When Jesus is in the boat, he was able to calm down the winds and the waves. You depend on him. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God teach you the truth and not lie. That's what we read. We are bound to be affected by deception, my dear. Very, very subtle deceptions. That doesn't mean that you are put in a cocoon and say, no, my children will not go anywhere. Nobody is going to talk to him also. No, we don't do that. But we teach them. When you face the world, be cautious. Don't get deceived. People will keep talking many, many things. May the Holy Spirit of God guide you and to know what is right and what is wrong. Don't get tossed here and there. Oh, that person is coming, I'll go after. This person is coming, I'll go. Everywhere tossed here and there. If it is a true word of God that is being preached according to the principles of the word of God, wonderful. Otherwise, let me tell you, you will get deceived. Each one of us will get deceived. That's what the Bible says here. We are no longer to be children. That is the whole purpose of our spiritual growth. We cannot be children forever. Don't say, oh, I'm still a child spiritually. No. Imagine your children, you want the children to grow up to become adults. So that is very important, my dears, that you don't get tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. You may be hearing many preachers sharing different ways in which, oh, you might get so bogged down that you need to really come back to the scriptures and see if what that person is saying is according to the scriptures or not. You start a Christian radio program or Christian TV program, you may be listening to a lot of sermons, different ways in which they are teaching. But is that according to the scriptures? My dear brothers and sisters, let no one deceive us. Let no one deceive you. That's what he says, little children, because we are bound to get deceived to the extent of getting kidnapped also. Children, you know, that's what happens. Oh, my child got kidnapped. And then why? Because
The child got deceived. They thought, oh, somebody told him that his dad is there or something, he'll give a chocolate or something. So he went after that person. You give that, okay, I'll come there. And what happens? They capture him. So sometimes we get kidnapped by the devil and his schemes as well. So let us be cautious, my dear. This particular verse is a study by itself, if we want to really look at it, by trickery of men. Sometimes we get too much, you know, so much so that even the one who is preaching properly also, we might find fault with that person. I'm not, you know, we might go to that extent of saying everybody is a deceiver. That is another extreme. I'm not saying that, but let us be having that maturity. It will come upon the more you study God's word, the more you spend time in God's word, not what others are saying. Oh, that person has said that. That is not matching with this person. Forget about it. What does the word of God say? Many times we rely on people. And based on what they say, that becomes a doctrine for us. Let us be cautious. Every time, next time, whether here in our church or elsewhere, you listen to any sermons, let us ask the Lord to give us wisdom not to get deceived. And our prayer is in our church, within our church, we want to be cautious. But sometimes we'll never know how we are being deceived by the evil one. That's our prayer. That every word that comes out of our mouth may be edifying, which is with the right doctrine that it has to be taught. So that is my prayer as well. That in our church, we are taught the clear doctrine of word of God so that we may not be carried away by every wind of doctrine that causes us to get drifted away here and there. That's the first one. Second one, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't give you that point to note down. Let no one deceive you with waves and winds. Come on, going here and there. Oh, this is good, run there. Oh, that is good? Okay, I'll run there. Don't get tossed here and there. Try to grow maturely. And we will see as to how as a mature person will react to certain things, even when it comes to being deceived as well. But today, our prayer and desire is that we may not get deceived by every wind of doctrine. Okay? That is one. And then 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, please read. Yes, please note down. I think it's very straightforward. I don't need to explain. This is a practice that we need to have. Love not in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. Be watchful, my dear. It is the words that cause problems in relationships, let me tell you. It is by our words. How we speak towards each other. Little children, he's saying, because children don't know what they're talking. Sometimes they speak things that they're not supposed to speak. They speak things they don't know whether they have to speak or not. Is this the right thing for me to speak or not? They don't have proper wisdom because they're kids. The moment you open the door, my dad, they start telling everything, right? Because they don't know when to stop. And parents are, right? Why? Because they don't know what they're talking. Sometimes they just open up their mouth and keep talking. Let us not love. In other words, they think here they are just more of hypocritical way of talking. That's what it is. Love not in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. And that is what we need to see in terms of helping people in need. Don't just say things. Oh, brother, I'll pray for you. Good. Do it in action. Love in deed and truth. Little children, learn. Because most of the time when we speak, sometimes we want to love them. Out of love, we may speak words that might really offend the other person. Let us be cautious about it. Maybe we are spiritual children that we don't know how to speak lovingly. That is why he says here in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 4 in our sermon notes, speaking the truth in love. It may be true, but the way you talk, it may be offensive. Maybe you need to grow up to know how to speak the truth in love. My dear brothers and sisters, these are very important. These are very practical. You want to show your love to your brother? Show it in action. Speak the truth in love. Lovingly talk it out. That requires maturity. Lot of times, my prayer and desire is I'm asking God, Lord, help me to be able to help each other to grow in you. Help me to know, based on the person who is speaking, whether they are really spiritually growing or not, or they are spiritually children. Sometimes I don't directly talk with the person because the Lord really prevents me from talking to a person who seems to be talking like a spiritual child, talking. Based on the convicting or the guidance of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we may need to speak out, we need to discipline. But there are certain times we need to see, oh, this person is a child. That's why he's talking like that. He needs to grow up or she needs to grow up. So let us be cautious. Let us not be talking this truth without properly speaking the truth in love. And for those who are being spoken like that, if somebody is speaking offensively, if we are not able to take it right, there also we need to grow up. Both ways. You be watchful the way you talk. And the one who is hearing also, how are you taking it? You require spiritual growth in that. Psalm 119, 165. So both the speaker and the listener of the words that we speak, we need to know. 119, 165. If you have a King James version, I would rather prefer you to read it from Psalm 119, 165. Okay, I think nobody follows the King James Version then. 119, 165. Those great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace to them that love thy law, and nothing will offend them or cause them to stumble. So both the one, because you can't control the other person's talking. That person is so offensive that he's keeping on talking, that person has to grow. Yes, good. How about you? When you're hearing, what do you do? Great peace will be given who love their law. Nothing will offend them. Even if that is causing offending, forgive, forget, and move on. And don't try to keep it to yourself. If you need to share and discuss it out as a matured person, talk to each other. Handle it rightly. That is where your maturity comes. You need to grow up. There will be some situations where you are not able to show the love the way you have to show the love. But talk it out. Resolve it. You can grow better. You see that? These are very practical. And last and the final one that I want us to note down is the last verse from this book, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. Talking to little children again. I don't know if you have been following how many references are there. Let me tell you, there are 9 times he talks to little children in this 1 John. Please read verse 21. Enough. Telugu or Urdu or any other language. Verse 21. The last verse of 1 John. He is giving these instructions. Guard yourselves from idols. Whether they are physical idols that are in front of you, or there are people who are idols for in front of you. Sometimes people idolize people. Sometimes people idolize their jobs. Sometimes people idolize their vehicles. Sometimes people idolize their phones. Without a phone, they cannot live or survive. What is your idol? Physically, you are worshipping something? Guard yourself from idols. Anything that you give higher importance than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, anything that you give more preference becomes an idol in your life. Little children, guard yourself from idolatry. Very important. Sometimes preachers become idols. Whatever that person says, that's right. We forget that we have a God, Holy Spirit of God, who has to guide us. We go after people. Don't have people as idols. Don't have things as idols. Don't create idols.
Because the Bible says so, not me. Guard yourself from idols. What is the idol in your life? Correct yourself. Each one of us, let us. That is when you can grow up in your spiritual life. Otherwise, this message is forever in your life, where you keep hearing, little children, little children, little children. How long will you be a little child, my dear? How long? Need to grow up. That is what we are going to see next time, God willing, after a few weeks, about being a young person spiritually. I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Spiritual youth. Wonderful. I'm looking forward for that as much as I hope that we all look forward for not just being a spiritual child. Be happy, your position is clear, that you need to have the clarity of your position as a spiritual child, but also you need to practice right. Don't get into deception. Ask God to help you. Don't have false love. Show real love. Speak the truth in love. Help each other. Be practical. And guard yourself from idols. Sometimes not knowingly we are obeying or worshipping idols in our lives. Sometimes our immigration becomes an idol. Thinking that, oh, nothing else other than that only. Mind is filled with that. From morning till night. What are we filling up ourselves with? If not, as if something, you know, we lose something, what will happen? What's the worst thing that will happen? That is where, as a child of God, you need to be able to face life. May the Lord bless this word.